Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 186. We started to mention at the end of the previous shir about how human beings are not just intelligent animals, but they are a separate category in and of itself. And one of the main aspects of it is to prepare for the future. We often have this inability to do so, but our humanness, our being a Tzelem Elokim, tells us that we have that gift and we have that obligation to be able to be Roya Es HaNoilad, to see what will come forth and plan for future events. Tversky said when he lectured young drug addicts, they lack that ability. When he asked them, for example, where would you like to be in 10 years from now? They had blank expressions are in their face. They didn't know what he was talking about. Because their idea of future, because of their addiction, was limited to minutes, if not seconds. He even asked them once, let's say you received a shipment of a new great drug from South America, put you on a high, better than cocaine, better than heroin, better than speed, all put together. They all said, well, it will cost a lot of money. He said, no, it's the best part. It's only $2 one hit. He says, wow, give me $100 worth. But then he answered back, I won't deceive you. The high is great, but there's a lag. There's a 48-hour lag before the effect. Like if today is Tuesday, you take the drug today, you won't feel anything until Thursday night. And then you'll feel great. They answer, nothing till Thursday. He says, that's right, nothing till Thursday. They'll answer, I don't want that kind of junk. And they walk away. They have this short-sighted concept of the future, which allows them to destroy their lives. We learned from the Gemara that even if the Torah would not be given to us, there's certain types of proper behavior we could learn from other animals. It's Gemara Erev Nafkuf. There are things that animals do by instinct, but we need to learn to use them, these behaviors, and exercise our intellect when using those behaviors. For example, many animals do prepare for the future, not because they consciously do. They don't have a brain that says, oh, I got to worry about the future. It's part of their DNA, part of their instinct. For example, squirrels, they know certain sense that there'll be a winter. Food won't be available. So they hoard a number of nuts that are beyond their actual needs right now or even later to prepare for that. So we can learn from that even though squirrels do it brainlessly, it's an instinct, we need to do it with our intellect to prepare for the future. The idea of preparing an Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba. Just like a squirrel prepares in the spring and summer for the winter months. Sukkot, which is the days of greatest simcha, we lay in Koheles, which is sort of depressing. Shlomo HaMelech knocks everything that's material, wealth, even wisdom and fame and glory, they're hevel havolim, nothing. Why does Shlomo HaMelech do this? This is Siman Simcha Seinu. Why were we kaveya to lay it on Sukkot, which is the ultimate simcha? And here we're talking about how all of it is nothing. And the answer is based on the first perek of the Maaseh Yesharim. The Ramchal says that any thinking person could not possibly conclude that the reason for one's existence is just to enjoy earthly pleasures. There's so much difficulty in this world. And if the purpose of creation would be physical pleasure, then the creation would be a terrible hoax. Now what happened was these days, the reason why we have trouble understanding this concept is because we are spoiled in the sense that we have a lot of those material comforts easily. In Rav Tversky's own times, when he was growing up earlier on, it was before immunization, before antibiotics, before jet flights, before air conditionings or computers or internets or microwaves or automatic washers and dryers or power steering and brakes, or television, or frozen foods, or smartphones, or anything like that. So therefore, everything required a lot of physical exertion just to get by. And the life expectancy in the United States at that point in time in the 30s was below 50 years old. And no one then had this concept. Even the non-Jews, they didn't have this concept that the world was meant to be like an amusement park and just pursuing fun and pursuing pleasure. Even when you had an entertainment industry, even then, that is true. But there was enough realities in real life that was very difficult that they realized this world is, that's not what it's about. However, these days, it's different. Why? Because modern science and technology eliminated many of the discomforts of daily life. And therefore, based on that, people got this notion in their minds and in their hearts that the purpose of life is getting maximum pleasure out of it. And when they don't get the pleasure out of it, what do? They run and escape, often in drugs. And with Tversky, 50 plus years he's been in this practice, and he had witnessed depression due to disappointment. People were expecting a pleasure in life, young men, young women, and they feel get depressed, and they poison themselves with toxic chemicals to get pleasure or to be free of the depression, to be free of the pain. So therefore, it's so important to work on ourselves, not to pursue physical comforts and physical pleasures. We could enjoy it when it takes place. We could do our normal, regular hishtadlis for it, but not to the point where it takes away your humanity. We also have this problem that we have something, what he calls chronic discontent, which means a constant unhappiness. He goes through, I'm not going to go into detail because he goes into detail of the history of depression and how it comes about. Sometimes severe, sometimes not so severe. Sometimes depression could come from actual chemical balance in the brain. Where Tversky had an interesting story himself where all of a sudden in the second year of his psychiatric training, he developed a severe depression that lasted for weeks. It got worse. Couldn't concentrate. Couldn't retain what he read. Appetite gone. And he didn't know what it was. And he consulted one of his professors and says, wait, are you taking any medications? So he said, yes, I'm taking over-the-counter decongestant for hay fever, you know. And the guy said, stop the medication. Let's see what happens. And he stopped it. And within a week, all the symptoms disappeared and cleared. So sometimes depression comes from a chemical thing that comes from taking some medication. Often, Rav Victor Miller, and he nailed it straight on. You think there's major problems when we saw a Bachram that got depressed and couldn't get out of bed and felt very down and so on. Before you try all these unusual things, or maybe that there's some real issue there, he proposed to these Bachram and he basically gave them instructions to eat healthy, balanced meals 3 times a day. He told them what to do. And to make sure you get adequate sleep. And he told them what to do regarding that. And in many, many cases, those two aspects of eating healthy and sleeping properly alleviated a lot of the negative symptoms of depression and anxiety. Sometimes it is indeed a biochemistry aspect of the brain for some of the psychiatric symptoms that occur, whether it's mood disorders or panic attacks or OCD and something like that. There's also placebo effect where we assume that they have in their minds that they're ill and really they're not. And in some cases, which is what we're talking about here, it's essentially due to something called chronic dissatisfaction. You have people that are wealthy. They could have everything they need. They're physically in good health. They appear to have a caring family. And they're depressed or given to drugs. And very, very sad when that takes place. And very often, it's not because of a chemical imbalance, but it's, he calls it a spirituality deficiency syndrome, of the idea of not fulfilling your human potential, of not being the human being that you're supposed to be. And also this constant wanting to go to the next thing in the material world. So for example, a person may have, let's say, a smartphone, works perfectly, then they announce a new model, an advanced model on sale. You have a two-line block long of people ready to spend hundreds of dollars for the gadget that doesn't offer much more than the model you already have. Rarely does the acquisition of a new model result in more but a good temporary feeling. You know, and the addictions are that way in a more severe way. But any type of thing that we do like that removes from us healthy satisfaction. One person said that when he stopped using drugs, he began to feel aware of his feelings, and that created an empty space within me, and that is the space where HaKadosh Baruch Hu belonged, where Hashem belonged. Which means like this, everything is finite except for Hashem. Hashem is the only thing that's infinite. You want a relationship with Hashem? It's an infinite request. The closer we come to Hashem, the more we realize we are far, and we try to get even closer. It's like a child, you know, a father with an infant. He wants to teach him how to walk. The child is able to stand upright. The father places himself close to the child, extends his arm out within several inches. But he's afraid because now the child normally used all fours, you know, like crawling, and now he's standing on two feet. The father's hands are just inches away, so the child has a courage to take the first step. Then the father retreats back and beckons to the child, try another step without falling. Child ventures two steps. Father retreats, and this continues in, you know, through the process of a couple of weeks until the child is able to walk. Now, what's going through the child's mind? We don't know for sure, but one of the things that are obvious, like, what are you doing? What's going on here? The more I try to reach my father, the more further away my father is going. But the truth is they have two different goals. The child's goal is to reach the father. The father's goal is to teach the child how to walk independently. The father allows the child to reach him, then the lesson is over. So that's what the Baal Shem Tov told his Talmidim. He told his Talmidim this tremendous yesod in life. He said that you want Hashem, that is your goal, to desire Hashem. Hashem's desire for you is to grow spiritually. If he allows you to reach him completely, your growth stops. So our quest to reach Hashem is infinite. So it is constant yearning, but we need not feel frustrated. We fill that void with HaKadosh Baruch Hu filling the void. If we try to fill that void with earthly material possessions, whether it's alcohol, drugs, gambling, food, or other things, it's a bottomless pit. It's a process. It's a process. Chronic discontent may contribute to depression in many cases. Kinna could rot the bones. Envy. Envy, something we all need to work on, but it's a worthless, destructive feeling. It produces nothing but heartache. One variety of envy is kina seifrim, being envious of the accomplishments of Talmidei Chachamim, of Tzadikim, because it stimulates a person to study Torah to become better. But if a person is discontented because his knowledge in Torah is limited, and you fall into depression, that's not the healthy approach. The approach is, by doing that, by feeling that dissatisfaction, you increase your Torah knowledge with joy. So negative envy could also be a major obstacle to success. So the key really is to value our Tzelem Elokim and the koyach that was put into us, to prepare for the future, to think of spirituality, to not allow the physicality of the world to drag us down and to have us escape into things that will not bring us any joy, and rather follow Hashem, have him fill the void, and then we could have ultimate menuchas hanefesh and yishuv hadas. Bracha v'atzlacha.